Hello, good evening. I'm Naina Patel and I'm filling in for Dr. Mehta. So he had told me to talk about mindfulness meditation. Mindful meditation is more from the Buddhist tradition. They use this kind of meditation a lot. And the person who made it very famous in US is Jon Kabat-Zinn. If this is his book. And he is at Mass General in Boston, and he runs stress reduction clinics. And basically, he teaches different kinds of mindful meditations, and that is his stress reduction program. Basically, so mindfulness is being aware of everything that is happening around you and within you at every moment. So that is basically mindfulness. You're being aware of everything that is happening. You're in your surroundings, your feelings, your thoughts, sensations in the body. You are aware of all of that. But normally when we talk about meditation, we have this idea that, okay, we sit in a place and we sit and do some technique and we reach certain state, and whether it's joyful or peaceful or happy or blank or whatever. So we have all these ideas that we need to go to this place in meditation. And then we are looking for that. But any meditation that you are going to sit and do, you cannot do forever. That is, you can do it only for a certain amount of time. And if you have to do all that to reach a certain state, then that state cannot be permanent, because you cannot, there's no way you can do that all the time. You have other things to do. So basically, meditation is more a 24/7 thing. And it is more like just being yourself. Meditation basically means to be, not to be this or that, but just be without any adjectives added to it. Not being man, woman, tall, short, pretty, non-pretty, fat, thin, rich, poor, physician, this, that. No, anything that you add to I am is not you. Anything that you add to I am is not you. Okay? So that's why meditation is just to be. You just be yourself. The problem comes because we don't know who we are, basically. Yourself is the problem. To be is not the problem. To be yourself is the problem, because we have all these ideas of who we are. We don't know who exactly we are. And so the whole idea is to find out who we actually are. And so all these different techniques are to take you to that thing, who you are. Basic thing is, anything that you can objectify cannot be you, okay? So if I say this book, I can see this book, I can touch it, I can feel it. So I cannot be the book. There is, it's me, and I'm seeing the book, I'm looking at this or whatever. So there are two people or two entities. So I cannot be the book. Then I say that, oh, in the mirror, I look at myself and I say, oh, I look beautiful today. Then I cannot be my body, because there is some entity who is looking at this body and saying, I'm beautiful, or I am fat, or I am ugly, or I am whatever. So I cannot be the body. There is some entity different from the body. Right? Same way, if I can say, oh, just I'm feeling very happy today, or I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling angry. So there are again two entities. One entity that is saying, that can know that I am angry, or I am happy, or I am depressed, or whatever it is. So you cannot be your emotion, right? There are two different things. It's you and the emotion. So all we have seen is you cannot be the object. You cannot be anything in the surroundings, because you can see it, feel it, all that. You cannot be your body, because again, you can see or feel and do everything with the body. So you cannot be the body. You cannot be the emotion, because you are again, you can identify that I am, you can be witness to that. So again, you cannot be emotion. if you are thinking something, there is some entity that knows that you are thinking. So you cannot be the thought. There is an entity that is separate than the thought. So then you are not the thoughts, you are not the emotions, you are not the body, you are not the environment. Then who are you? Who are you? All you can say is, I exist. Anything else you add to it becomes not you. So that just proves that you are something totally different than what you think you are. Because normally we think of ourselves as so-and-so with such and such body, with this profession, this kids, with relationships and all that. We think all of that of us. But we are none of it. We are something different than everything. So not environment, not body, not emotions, not thoughts. So nothing is that. So it is nondescript. You cannot describe your own self. So we hear people saying that, we read it in the books that you are just conscious being, you are not none of this, but you don't feel it. So how do you come to the conclusion? How do you feel that? So all the techniques that we do of meditation are basically trying to get to that place where you are not identified with anything and you can be yourself. So real meditation means just being yourself. So all these techniques just help you, but they are means, but they are not the end. Okay. So that needs to be clear. So now mindfulness is a kind of meditation, but it's not only sitting and doing it for a few hours or a few minutes or whatever, but it's an ongoing thing. It's all day thing. All your waking hours, you are supposed to be doing it. But the foundations of mindfulness, there are 8 foundations that he gives that we should have that attitude. This is just the foundation. Once you have the attitude, then you can start. I mean, if you have the right attitude, then the technique will help a lot. Otherwise, you just do a technique and it doesn't mean that much. It may help. So many people do techniques for years and years and years, and then they say, oh, I don't see the difference that I need to see, or I didn't see any difference. Because they're doing the technique for half an hour or 2 hours a day, and then the rest of the time, they're doing nothing. So both of them have to help each other. So you need to do things all day long. So these are some of the basic attitudes that we need to have before we start meditation, or even while we are, even if we started it, it's always good to have this. So the first one is non-judging. We need to be a witness to everything, okay? Because just from the logic that I just told you, the real me is not identified with anything else. It's just a witness to everything. So we need to practice this in our lives. So we need to be witness to all our experiences without judging anything. But we are constantly judging. If you think about it, you go anywhere, we are constantly judging ourselves. We are constantly judging people. We are constantly judging things. We are constantly judging situations. And if you don't believe me, sit for 10 minutes and see, your mind will, oh, this shouldn't be this way. This should have been this way. It could have been this way. Or you are complaining. Anything you are doing means you are not being a witness. You are judging it. And so anything that you judge, and it gives you pleasure, you say that is good. Anything you judge and then you don't like it, then you say it's bad. And the good you want to go on thinking about that, and the bad one you want to stay away from. And things that are neutral kind of, you don't pay attention to it. So they're useless. So that is how constantly, so we don't see life as a whole. We pick and choose what we want to see. And that is what happens with judging. We just pick certain things that we like and we just want to revel in that. So we need to get away from that. How do you get away from it? So if you catch yourself judging, you don't condemn yourself, or you don't get angry, or you don't get frustrated, or you don't want to stop it. You don't say, oh, I need to stop it. I'm judging. I need to stop it. You can't. The more you want to stop it, the more you'll do it. So the way to do it is just see it. Just see that I am judging. And the moment you see that I'm judging, you are already getting rid of it. So that is the best way to get rid of it. Because if I tell you, don't think of monkeys, you're going to think of monkeys. So you cannot stop that. You cannot say, I'm going to stop judging from tonight. You know, it won't happen because you are conditioned for so many years. So you will judge. But whenever you, the idea is whenever you see that you're judging, just see it and don't condemn it or don't judge the judging again. So that is, one is judge. Second is patience. In this, we need to be very, very patient. In this day and age of instant gratification, everything is instant. You know, everything you do it and you get the results fast. It doesn't work like that in here. It's a slow process, very slow process. So you cannot say that, oh, I've been meditating for 2 months now. I don't see any change in me, you know. That is a very, very short time. And it also depends on where you've started. So be very patient with yourself, patient with everybody else also. If you see anger in you, if you see anxiety in you, don't say, oh, I've been so spiritual for so long and I still have all these negative tendencies in me. But just be aware of it. That's it. You don't have to judge it. Just be aware that it's there. It's like if everything takes time, its own time. A caterpillar will become a butterfly in its own time. You cannot hasten the process. You cannot start opening the cocoon and see if it'll come off. You know, the butterfly will not come. Same way, if there's a rosebud and if it's sitting there and you are going to say, I'm going to watch it and see how it opens up, you'll be very frustrated. That's the same thing in meditation. If you, every day you meditate and every day you are saying, how was my meditation? Did I get any better? Did I do this? Did I do that? It'll be very frustrating. Meditation should be just like any activity that you do in your life, like taking a shower or brushing your teeth or something like that. You don't judge it every day. I brushed very good today. You know, my teeth are really clean. You don't do that. So, listen. So basically, you need to be open to every moment and accept it the way it is. Don't fight with it. It's there anyway. What's the point of fighting with something that's already there? You know, so just accept everything the way it is. The other one is beginner's mind. So what does a beginner's mind mean? It means like a child. A child sees everything fresh because a child has no past baggage with them. So they just, any experience, they are fully into that experience because they're not thinking, oh, last time this happened, that happened. While we are constantly have such, so much baggage from the past that we cannot enjoy anything on face value. You see someone after 10 years or something and you'll remember, oh, this person did this and this and this and that, you know? Or anything that comes, and you're colored, and even if that person has changed now, but you remember something that happened 20 years ago, and you are judging that person now. So you do not have fresh eyes. You don't look at things with fresh eyes or fresh mind. You always have preconceived notions, and that colors it. Like if you have yellow glasses, you'll see everything yellow. Same thing. You don't see reality the way it is. So same thing in meditation. Don't have preconceived ideas. Oh, if I start meditating, I'm going to be such and such. I'll be so relaxed and I'll be so good. And people are going to tell me, oh, you are so wonderful and this and that. And I should don't have that in mind. Those are preconceived ideas. You meditate and see what happens in the moment, what is happening. And be a witness to that. Don't have all these ideas in your mind. And if you have those ideas, it will just delay the process, really speaking. Then next is trust. Trust means trusting yourself. trusting what you feel, what you think, and not what others say. You can take people's advice, you can be open to teachings, but trust your own intuition and your own feelings. Don't try to imitate anyone, okay? Just because you see some Swamiji and you say, oh, he's such a great person, and just the way he does, I have to do exactly like that. That may not be your path. That may not be right for you, you know. So you need to think what is right for you. You can take advice from everyone, but then trust your own intuition. Trust yourself. And only if you trust yourself, you'll trust others. What is the difference between intuition and impulsiveness? How would you know one? Both sound the same. Both have no logic, basically. Impulse is something that is very short-lived. And if you wait long enough, if it's just an impulse, it'll go away. Intuition is something that comes from a much deeper level. It has the universal wisdom behind it. And that stays with you. If you're sitting and you say, oh, I need to move to Las Vegas, if the thought comes to you, you don't know if it's an impulse or intuition, wait on it. If you wait for a few days, few months, if it's just an impulse, it will go away. But if it is intuition, it will stay. And with intuition, you don't have too many doubts in it. You know, you kind of know I need to do this. So intuition, you just know it. There's no doubts anymore. So trust yourself. Then non-striving. Non-striving also is very important. Again, in this day and age, we've learned in the world, that is what we are taught from childhood. Oh, you study hard. Only if you study hard, you'll get A's. And if you get A's, you'll go to a good college and this. And you have to do hard. Anything you want to do, you need to strive and work hard to achieve anything in the world. But meditation is just the other way around. It's totally other way around. And that is not, meditation is non-doing, okay? Because you are just being yourself, basically. You are just being. We are constantly trying to become. We want to become better husband or wife. We want to become better mothers or fathers. We want to be better employers. We want to be better at this. We are always trying to be better. Even in spiritual life, I want to be a better person. I want to be a kinder person. So that already means that you are not okay right now, right? At this moment, you are not okay. I want to go there. So you are not happy. And this is the only time you really have. That's in the future. So you are not being yourself and you're not being with yourself. That's not meditation when you're constantly trying to become. Meditation is being, not becoming. So be happy with what it is right now. Accept that. And then it's not that you don't take action on that. It's all about non-doing. There was Krishnamurti, I think a lot of people may have heard of. He was a spiritual master. He passed away in the 80s and he was in Ojai. He had the people coming to him for years, for 30 years, you know. And one day he says, you know, you want to know my secret? And so everybody is listening. 30 years coming. Now he's going to give us the secret. Master is going to give us the secret. So everybody said, yes, yes, we want to know what's the secret. And then he says, I do not mind what happens. That was his secret. Whatever happens, I do not mind. So that kind of attitude you have to have. Next one is acceptance. A lot of them are interrelated. So we have a hard time accepting anything. Every time we are fighting with the present moment. Oh, it should have been this way. Or you are complaining, why is it not like this? Or it should have been anything you see and you have 10 critics on it, you know. It should have been small or big or it should be round or whatever thing. People also, oh, they should have been this way, he should have done this, that. So all that is not accepting the present moment the way it is. You don't accept yourself also. I should be this way. I should have done this. You know, whenever the shoulds and coulds and complaining comes, you are not accepting things the way they are. So even when, like in psychology, it is a known thing, right? When something major happens, we first go through denial, right? Then you go through anger phase. And then finally, life teaches you that you need to accept it. Then the acceptance comes. Life will teach you that. But if you do not want life to teach you, you can start doing it now and start accepting things the way they are. And with that, I don't mean that you don't take action. You just accept everything and, oh, everything is fine. Somebody hits you and you say, oh, it's fine, you know. And it's not that you don't take action, but you accept first and then take action. So Eckhart Tolle gives this example. So he says, you go to a restaurant, a nice fancy restaurant, and the waiter comes and brings you soup. You taste the soup and the soup is cold. So according to the acceptance, you need to accept, yeah, the soup is cold. That doesn't mean you just say it's cold and you drink it, you know. You can call the waiter and say, you know, that, you know, can you warm this up, please? This soup is cold. You can say that. And that is a wise way to do it. That is what acceptance means. But most of the times we'll say, we'll call the waiter, we'll be angry. How come you brought some hot, cold soup over here? This is a fancy restaurant. I've spent so much money over here. I didn't come here to get cold soup. I could have had this at home. You know, things like that. And that is where you are not accepting it. But if you accept it's cold, and then you can say nicely, can you please warm it up, you know? Or if he's acting up, you can be firm also. That is fine. Or you can say, okay, you know, if he really acts up, okay, can I talk to your supervisor, you know? That is fine. But these other things don't need to be there. He gives an example of another thing also. Say you are stuck in a quicksand and you are going down. And you start thinking, your mind goes, oh, now what is going to happen? This, that, and you, anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. You won't see what is happening around you. You won't see if there is something that can help you, pull you out, you know. But if you stop and accept it, oh, yeah, I'm going down. Yeah, okay. And then you look around. You might see a branch that you can hold on to. But if your mind is going, I mean, this is an extreme situation. But just to show how we miss things because our mind is going with useless thoughts. We don't see things that are around that can be helpful in any situation. So that is what acceptance means. Then the next one is letting go and non-attachment. Very difficult thing to do. We hold on to everything. All the good experiences we want to hold on to. And we go on thinking about it again and again and again. And that makes the attachment more and more and more. Same things with relationships. We cannot let go our children. We cannot let go our spouses. We just hold on to them. And if somebody did something to you 20 years ago, something bad, you see the person, you don't let go of it. And when you don't let go of it, it drains you down, puts you down. There was this neuroscientist who suffered a stroke. And she was a neuroscientist, so she knows what was going on. Many of you must have heard it was on TED Talk. And then she gives her experiences. And she says, I was so happy and peaceful. Because her right and left brain had disconnected. So the left brain is the one which will remember everything, all the baggage that is there will remember, and the right one doesn't. So it got disconnected, so she lost all her baggage, basically. And she said it was so good to lose all that 36 years of baggage. So that is what we need to do. We need to let go of things. And not hold on to it. And this is not a very foreign idea to us to let go. Every night we let go. When we go to sleep, if you're thinking too much, if you're anxious about something, you know, and you cannot let go of it. You cannot go to sleep, right? You can sleep. You can sleep only when you let go. So this is something we do all the time. So that is what we need to do in meditation. Everything comes down to meditation. If we do not let go of things, we cannot meditate, basically, or get the full effect of meditation, because meditation means letting go of everything. So anything that, so the idea is when you meditate, any technique that you're doing, doesn't matter. Any technique you do, you'll have thoughts, a lot of thoughts. And those thoughts, if you do not let go, and you go on reveling on it, if it's a good one, you are happy and you go on it. If it's a bad one, you get angry and frustrated and all that. But if you go on elaborating that story, you will never meditate, or you'll never reach where you needed to reach. So letting go is very important. And after all this, important thing is commitment. Once you understand all this, okay, now I need all these attitudes. Now I'm going to have some technique that helps always. So now I'm going to be committed to that. Okay, I'm going to take out a certain time from my life and commit to it and do it no matter what, whether I like it or not like it. Some days you're not going to like it. That's fine. But how much, so depending on how much commitment you have, that much progress you will see in your life. So commitment is very, very important. So these are the foundations. Any questions, comments on any of these? One moment at a time. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, so basically, ultimately, the goal will be to live moment by moment. Okay. And that is what you're saying. When you see every moment fresh, beginner's mind, as our child without any baggage, then you are living in that moment. And then your personality is not there either. Your personality is there because you have a past and you project a future. Otherwise, you would have no, if you had no past, you would have no personality. I am so-and-so, I am wife of so-and-so, I am mother of so-and-so. All that is because, or I am a doctor, or I am this, because I am attaching myself to the past. Right? It is the past. But if in this particular moment, at this moment, if you, like all of you, you can practice it right now. At this moment, don't think of anything. Just at this moment. Do you have any problems? At this moment, nothing. There's no problem. You may have little pain, physical or something like that, but not real, real big problem. It's the mind, because the mind will go in future or past. That's why you have the problem. So moment to moment living is the best way to live. So what Buddha said and all is, and all the scriptures say that you are not the personality. This person as me, as Naina, is just, it's not me. It's just like a, like in a play, there is a character. Or what else can we say? Like a toy, not toy, but puppet. Like a puppet, basically. It's not you. So a puppet has no past and future, right? Or even if it has the past and future, it's, so we, the body has the past and future, the body, mind and intellect, that entity. But we are not that. Because in the beginning I said, we are not the mind, we are not the intellect, we are not the emotions, thoughts, any of it. So when you live in the moment, then you live in that space, just as being conscious, just as being consciousness, as a witness. And this body, that is this personality, this is Naina, I'm watching it. It's not me. It's like in convention, I have to say it's me, but, and of course, I'm not realized either, but a person who is realized will not identify with the personality at all. So mindfulness, again, so any other we have only a few minutes. So now what he talks about in mindfulness is, so for practice, he talks about two things. So like technique wise, okay, these are the attitudes you need to practice all the time. But then for technique wise, he will say formal meditation and informal meditation. So formal meditation is somewhere where you say, okay, I'm going to take out 30 minutes or hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, every day, twice a day, or whatever you decide, and you sit and do a technique, sit, walk, whatever. So that is known as formal meditation, okay? Then informal meditation, he talks about like short ones. One very simple one, and which I advise my patients to do it, and I would, all of you can, try it if you want to. Very simple thing is every so often, take 2 or 3 conscious breaths. Every so often, whenever you remember. What that does is that brings your mind to the present moment. It takes you away from past and future and brings you to the present moment. And also the second advantage is you will breathe abdominally. When you pay attention to your breath, you will breathe abdominally. And that is good for your physiology, good for your health, good for everything. So it does both the things. So very important. So I'll tell you one story of him only. He suggested it. There was one physician who was extremely busy, very stressed out. He was always running out of time. So constantly looking at his watch, that watch everywhere. So one of the teachers of this stress reduction techniques told him, why don't you take one conscious breath every time you look at your watch? Okay. So he said, okay, that's easy. It doesn't take any time and I don't need anything, no instrument, nothing. So he said, okay. So then he said, okay, he saw some green stickers. He said, let me put a sticker to remind me. So he put a sticker on his watch. So every time he looked at it, he saw the green and he took one conscious breath. Then he started looking at those. So he said, oh, I need to put there also. So he put a green sticker there. Then slowly he said, oh, he started liking it actually. So he said, every time I go into the patient's room, I put a sticker on the door. So before I go in, one conscious breath. He slowly went on putting it all over the place, on his phone, on his steering wheel. So before he started driving, one conscious breath, only one conscious breath. And in 2-3 months, his stress level went down a lot. And even patients started telling him, Doc, you look relaxed, What are you doing? So a very simple technique, but something that is very, very doable. I would say very doable. You can have an app on your phone that will remind you every hour. Or you can decide every time before I use the phone, I'm going to take one or two conscious breaths. So this is some. So these are his informal. So these kind of things he talks about informal meditation. So he says mindful meditation in anything. It can be while you are eating, while you are walking, while you are cutting vegetables, where doing anything. The idea is you pay full attention to what you are doing. And those are the informal meditation. So the thing is, don't take a long period and say, okay, this whole hour while I'm cooking, I'm going to be mindful. You'll be frustrated because it's difficult to do. But take short periods of time. So say I'm going to go from here to my car. I'm going to be very, very aware and very attentive till I do that. That's it. I'm going from this room to the other room. Okay, I'll be very attentive for that short period. So you can do these short things all through the day. Or you can decide 1 week I'm going to do this or whatever. So these are known as informal meditations. So he gives importance to both of them to do it.